This is Voices of Our World. I'm your host, Eileen Bott. The United States is breaking new ground with its direct-to-consumer prescription drug advertising campaigns. Canada, on the other hand, remains steadfast in controlling the information provided about brand-name drugs on TV. Join us as we explore the differences.
The toe bone's connected to the heel bone. The heel bone's connected to the foot bone.
The United States Food and Drug Administration threw open the floodgates of prescription drug TV advertising in 1997 by relaxing the rules. It used to be prescription drug ads had to mention all the side effects and potential problems. Now, they only have to hit the major risks, along with an accurate presentation of what the drugs do and where further information can be obtained. It's a whole different ball of wax when you cross the border into Canada. Canadian pharmaceutical companies are under severe restrictions by Health Canada about what they can say on TV about their drugs. Mary Knoll's director of media relations, Howard Schwartz, talks with Mr. Ray Chapsuk, a commissioner on the Canadian Pharmaceutical Advertising Advisory Board, about the current Canadian advertising rules and how it affects their health industry.
Hello, Mr. Chapsuk. How are you today?
Fine.
Thank you for taking the time to join us. What are the principal differences between direct-to-consumer advertising between the United States and Canada?
Well, the main difference are in the regulations. In Canada, we're restricted to name, price, and quantity, which basically tells you that you can put a drug name up on a billboard or in a magazine, but you can't say what it's for. In the U.S., it's very much more liberal in that you can actually state the product name and the therapeutic use for that product.
Can we backtrack just a little bit and tell me a bit about what your agency does in Canada?
We actually review advertising that comes in that's mainly directed for health professionals, for healthcare products. That includes prescription drug products, biologicals, meaning vaccines, and also non-prescription products, including natural healthcare products.
So in a sense, you are a level of, if you will, protection for consumers that comes after Health Canada?
Well, we work in conjunction. We're an advisor to the industry to keep them not only with the law, but also in ethical guidelines as far as promotional practices and advertising in particular. We serve the two-headed monster. Industry sends its advertising to us and pays for a review service. However, we're also responsible and accountable to Health Canada, which is our federal government, who allows this process to happen because Health Canada is ultimately responsible and accountable under the Food and Drugs Act. But we have a relatively unique system in the world. There isn't anything quite like it, but preclearance review mechanism is what makes it work.
Can I ask you, I've spoken to a few folks in the Canadian subsidiaries of pharmaceutical companies, and they speak derisively about 40-year-old regulations governing direct-to-consumer ads. Do the Canadian rules work to the disadvantage of the Canadian pharmaceutical companies?
Well, it depends on the product. Some companies aren't interested at all in direct consumer advertising, mainly broadcast advertising because of the cost, and they feel they'd have to do it as a competitive tactic. However, there is spillover from the U.S. We do have direct consumer product advertising in Canada. It's just not made in Canada. There's a lot of ads that come through American television, especially, you know, if you watch the NFL on Sunday, you see a lot of ads. And also through American magazines that people subscribe to. So Canadians are exposed to it.
Well, I'm glad you went in that direction because I was going to ask you, that does in a way sort of strip away the regulatory powers that we have in Canada.
Well, it complicates things. From a regulatory point of view, a Canadian pharmaceutical company is not allowed to advertise prescription drugs direct to consumer. However, you know, we all know that Canadians are exposed to a lot of direct-to-consumer prescription drug advertising. So does it make a mockery of the regulatory system? In some ways, yes, because you can't say we don't have it. We do. But the law is designed so that it doesn't occur. So it's kind of complicated from a point of view to say whether that's good or bad.
Well, that raises the question, is it in a patient's best interest to self-diagnose and request a specific medical treatment as a result of an ad, as opposed to a physician-driven diagnosis and medical regimen?
Well, in the end result, patient has to go through a doctor to get a prescription drug. So the doctor is the gatekeeper, and the patient isn't going to cause harm to themselves without the help of a doctor. as far as self-diagnosis, that happens now. In a past life, I was a pharmacist, and people would come in and ask about drugs because their neighbors had it or family member had it. Today, people are going on the internet, and there's tons of information to help you self-diagnose on the internet, and not necessarily coming from drug companies. And some of it's good, and some of it's not so good. And so people have plenty of opportunity to get information to help them self-diagnose beyond direct consumer advertising.
Understood. Ray Chepsik is the commissioner of the Canadian Pharmaceutical Advertising Advisory Board. Mr. Chepsik, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you very much.
The foot bones connect to the leg bones. The leg bones connect to the knee bones. The knee bones connect to the thigh bones. You see, this connect of those dry bones, yeah.
Patients are becoming less and less dependent on their doctors for information in our increasingly market-driven healthcare industry. Prescription drug representatives clog our doctors' waiting rooms, lingering for their chance to hawk the benefits of their latest and greatest pills. Doctors, the traditional gatekeepers of medical treatments, are now besieged from all sides to prescribe, prescribe, prescribe. In 2004, the pharmaceutical industry spent almost $8 billion marketing their prescription drugs directly to physicians. First, do no harm. Derived from the Hippocratic Oath, it is a precept that is commonly believed to guide a doctor's practice. Mary Knoll's director of media relations, Howard Schwartz, talks with Dr. Philip Gold, professor of medicine at McGill University, about the increasing difficulty in sticking with this principle in this market-driven healthcare industry.
Hello, Dr. Gold. How are you today?
Fine, Howard. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
We're talking today about direct-to-consumer advertising, or as it's referred to in the pharmaceutical industry, DTC. Now, the rules are different in Canada than they are in the States, aren't they?
They are indeed. In fact, if you want to look at it in one fashion, there's probably an experiment being done in two countries right now, in the United States and New Zealand, where the government has allowed for direct-to-consumer marketing of prescription drugs. And the last word is certainly not in. But one can look at a variety of things that have transpired, and you have to begin to wonder whether it really is a wonderful idea. I don't think that we can definitively say yet that it's a terrible idea, but I know what my colleagues believe anyway.
I'd like to ask you about your colleagues. Now, are they getting patients who are better informed, or are they getting patients who are getting involved in self-diagnosis and trying to push the hands of the physicians?
Well, there, I think, is where the critical issue comes in. At the end of the grid, where you have people who do look after themselves, who look after their health care reasonably well, in that group, it's becoming a nuisance in the sense that they are already informed, they are seeing a doctor. It's unlikely that anything new or exciting is going to be determined by having them see the doctor more often or by having them come in with a list of medications they'd like to have. For those individuals, not a heck of a lot's going to happen. At the other end of the spectrum is where pharma, in fact, rests its case, if you will, on the patient who would ordinarily not be well-informed, ordinarily not see a physician. If they see something about a disease on the tube, they might, in fact, say, well, this may be me, and maybe I should see someone. Now, in fact, there was one study that was done in that regard that was run through the American Medical Association, and it looked quite interesting, actually, until you got to the acknowledgments, and it was done, in fact, with the pharmaceutical industry, so that you have to wonder about the outcome there. But there, they go through what their limitations might be, but they emphasize the fact that, you know, even with the limitations, it might be good for those people who otherwise would not get to a physician. So taken together, I don't think that all the answers are in, but I think that in many cases, it does become a bit of a nuisance.
Well, the situation now is that in Canada, you can mention a product and you can mention in a separate ad a condition, but you're not allowed to marry the two. The FCC and the FDA here in the United States are a lot more lax. And I suppose the question I'm looking at, are we creating a society of hypochondriacs or giving the impression to people that if you feel this way, then the pill is the magic bullet, if you will, that'll help you out?
And let's look at the things that are advertised. About 20% of the advertisements, I gather, are directed towards psychiatric and neurological diseases. These are people who have often very difficult problems, but who are probably the least able to make good judgments, if you will. And so for this group, it's particularly a difficult problem. If you look at the cardiac situation, then we go back to the old scheme of anything that's supposed to lower cholesterol is going to be hit as hard as you possibly can. And in the background, you hear all the contraindications, of course, if you have X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, but no one's listening to that. What they're seeing is this fellow who's suddenly become beautiful and is playing with his grandson, particularly if he's taking an antiplatelet, an adhesive material, which is keeping his platelets from clogging up his coronaries.
A blood thinner.
Oh, yes. I mean, and so we go into all of these things over and over again. At the end of the day, I think that we're going to find that not a heck of a lot has changed. You know, one could make the argument, you can't be too concerned about your health. The fact is, you can be. And people who should be seeing doctors are people that are ill, but not who feel that they should perhaps have an additional statin to reduce their cholesterol, when in fact they have no other risk factors.
Now, despite the best efforts of Canadian health regulatory authorities, you're still getting cable channels and all of the American advertising crossing the border into Canada.
Intimately and often.
And so, therefore, all of the efforts to restrict this kind of advertising, it becomes a moot point, doesn't it?
It does indeed. And so, effectively, we all watch the same things that everyone else watches in the U.S.
So what should the take-home message be for people who sit in front of their television? And let's get away from cardiac for a moment and move to things like sleep problems. They seem to imply that if you take this medication, you'll sleep better.
I don't know of anybody who doesn't have a sleep problem at some point in time for a day or two or three. I would hate to have them hooked on anything. And anything that you begin to take that you believe is helping you becomes something that you stay with for a very, very long time.
Do you think if Canadian pharmaceutical companies had their way, you would be seeing rules more like what they have here in the States?
Yes, of course. And the pressure is on, as you well know, internationally, to move the American and New Zealand experience right across the world. The thing that Canada has done, which I really think is probably as good as anything in healthcare and healthcare delivery, is to have a prices review board, which allows the pharmaceutical firms an appropriate profit, which they really must make to stay in business, and which we really need to have, because we do need new drugs coming down the pipe all the time. What they will not allow is basically gouging. And I'm afraid that what I've seen in the U.S., visiting friends, talking to friends in the U.S., is in fact price gouging.
Dr. Gold, thank you so much for joining us.
As always, my pleasure.
Are prescription drug commercials helpful or harmful? Email us at radio@maryknoll.org or go to our website, www.voicesofourworld.org, and just click on Contact Us. Or you can call us at 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. Well, that's all for this week, and thanks for listening. Dr. Larry Sasek, Ray Chapsuk, and Dr. Phil Gold are just some of the voices of our world. I'm your host and this week's producer, Eileen Bott. You heard music today by Dashboard Confessionals and Fats Waller. Our website is www.voicesofourworld.org, where you can listen, learn more about today's guests and topics, answer our weekly question, or subscribe to our podcast. Please go to www.voicesofourworld.org. To learn more about Mary Knoll or try Mary Knoll magazine in English or Spanish, call 877-MARY-KNOLL. That's 877-MARYKNOLL. And please join us next time for more Voices of Our World.